This is a CC Radio podcast.
Hey, folks, it's Wayne.
And Paul.
And we're here to review Polar as our countdown feature review this week.
That's it, Netflix's new one, which dropped on January 25th and stars Mads Mikkelsen, Vanessa Hudgens, Catherine Winnick, and Matt Lucas. It is an adaptation of a graphic novel, no, comic, action noir comic series,
is it really?
Of the same name. And it's directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who apparently is a music video director. And runs for 119 minutes. And that's really about it. Wayne, what is Polar about?
In Polar, the world's top assassin, Duncan Vizsla, a.k.a. the Black Kaiser, he's white, is settling into retirement when his former employer marks him as a liability to the firm. So against his will, he finds himself back in the game going head-to-head with this army of younger, faster, ruthless killers who want to kill him and also everyone else in the entire world. And Mads Mikkelsen does, however, root one of them. That's the movie.
Okay. Well, look, I first of all, I had trouble finding this on Netflix. Like, it came out. I knew it was coming out.
I saw, yeah.
I had a trailer for it. We got a little excited watching the trailer because it's very stylish.
The trailer looks great and funny. It's like, oh my God, this has got an edge to it, like a comedic edge to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and Mads Mikkelsen, who's pretty good value in most of the
Mads
things
Mikkelsen, Mads Mikkelsen,
that he
man.
Is in. Anyway, so I rock up Friday night after, came home, stuck it on, like, Polar. Where is it? Couldn't find it anywhere. Search for it. It is like the 19th thing down on my list of things to search for. Now, it has since corrected. So
yeah,
last night, it's now popping up as there. So one day later, it's now popping up as their Netflix original, one of the films. But like, that's a really strange way to open a film.
It's weird. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't have known about this movie if Paul hadn't told me about it because I watch Netflix all the time and I didn't see any ads for it. And well, you know, at a stage where we're complaining we don't get enough ads. What's happened to us? I don't know.
It is interesting. And look, it's a reflection of two things that we're doing this film as the feature review. One, there is just nothing out in the cinemas. Interested in. We are now restricted to the stuff they're dumping into cinemas to get rid of it in January and the occasional Academy Award winning potential release, most of which is not in our squares. But we'll watch it eventually, but rather than dedicating a whole feature.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing out there.
That said, if I had my time over again, we should go and see Green Book or whatever it's
was
called.
Was it Green? Yeah. Something.
Yeah, and skip this one because...
That's Oscar bait, yeah?
Yes, definitely is Oscar bait because Polar, I have to say... is not a good film.
This film is a piece of shit.
I didn't hate it.
Okay, I did.
All right. So this may be a rarity. If you are a not regular listener to the show, I have no idea why you'd be tuning in because I can't imagine Polar's bringing as many listeners, I have to say.
Oh my God. I mean, look, yeah, again, I really won't.
It is, look, I'll tell you what it does do well.
All right.
Mads Mikkelsen is pretty good as the stoic.
Good. He is good.
Very believable, I have to say, sort of. Intense, old. Authentic, retiring. He's turning 50. And yeah. In this world, you have to retire when you turn 50. And the plot is that his employer of this assassin firm basically doesn't have to pay out on the superannuation scheme
right.
that they have. So rather than
401k for you Americans.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? 401k? Mm. Yeah. Mm. So rather than pay out the $8 million and change that he owes the Black Kaiser, he has all his younger cadre of assassins send over there to kill him.
That's right.
Which is a problem because A, he doesn't know where he is, and B, the Black Kaiser, as you said, turns out to be pretty damn good at his job.
Yes, he's awesome and better than everyone else.
So I liked Mads Mikkelsen. I liked some of the stylistic violence. I liked some of the style of it. You can tell that this Jonas Åkerlund guy is a music video director. A lot of directors get the start music videos.
Yeah, McG.
Yeah, and who else? David Fincher even.
Yes, that's right.
So... I appreciate some of the stylings of it, and I liked the over-the-topness of the world to a degree.
Yeah.
Really hated Matt Lucas as the big bad guy. He was awful.
Fuck, and that Little Britain guy?
Yeah, Little Britain guy.
That was so stupid.
Yeah, he was really badly cast. All the characters really badly written from the original comic book series. I don't know, because he was awful.
They just dressed him up in colorful clothes, made him all like this, and put some weird shit on him, made him really ruthless but kind of a coward.
Yep.
Just completely unlikable as a character. And
not at all menacing as a villain.
No, a villain needs to be charming. At least this guy's a dickhead.
Yeah, and then his second in command, or so it seems, is Catherine Winnick. I can't remember what her name is in the film.
Nor can I.
Vivian.
Right.
She seems to exist just to be an exposition.
No, that's all. You know what?
Passer. So Mr. Blutt says, she says, well, you can't do that because of these reasons and this is the reason. Maybe you should just pay him out. All she does is explain everything that's going on, which the film is supposed to show you.
I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with her character. I'll tell you what, when the movie first opened up, is this beautiful like tracking shot, like Chilean, helicopter shot. Yeah. So this is some villa or some mansion.
Somewhere in Chile.
Chile, right? And it's Johnny Knoxville's there. And
which, that surprised me.
That was a bit weird. Mm-hmm. But the scene itself is so brightly lit and so like happy. I was like, oh, I like this. And then they came in and there's a big sort of gunfight and that shit went down. And then even like as that beginning starts to progress, I'm sitting there. I'm still in. I'm like, oh, this is karaoke bouncing ball lyrics on screen as they're driving.
Yeah, as they fly away.
What the hell is that? This movie is kooky. I'll go with it. It's pleasant looking enough. It's fine.
I could have done I Hate Johnny Knoxville with a Passion. And his shtick really annoys me. So it kind of put me on edge a little bit. But I kind of dug the assassin team. They were very different and, you know.
Well, that's it. And then right after that sort of maybe half first act, everything just gets dark all of a sudden. Like
very
just boom, all of a sudden the colors are muted. It's like this. He's on some cold place and shit like that. And I think I'm 18 minutes in and I'm like, this is starting to drag a little bit. That's 18 minutes.
It didn't bother me. It was a little long.
I was
took
still
way
in,
too long for the assassin team to find him. God. Of course they find him. And you see that in the trailers and the like. And then for it all to play out from there. But I thought there were some cool moves, some cool moments. Like, there is a we're getting into the later parts of the film.
That's right.
There's a big sort of action scene towards the end of the film where he's up against lots and lots of no-names. I appreciated most of that sort of stuff.
That wasn't the end sort of action wasn't bad, and to my mind is the best thing about the film.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily worth waiting through. Yeah, you know, to get there, but it was slightly stupid. This movie was slightly stupid.
I appreciated the styling and it being ramped up, but then it goes too far.
It goes too far, and like, what's with a blaring soundtrack? I don't know. I had a real problem. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not figuring out the tone of the film. I'm like, what are you? Are you dark? Are you this? Are you funny?
It's trying to be, maybe you're right. I think it's trying to be a little bit the best of both worlds. It wants to be, it is, even though you said it's muted, everything's stylized to the max.
That's right.
If someone's wearing red, it's leap off the screen.
It's like, yeah, massively glowing red. Yeah.
If someone's wearing yellow, it's mm-hmm. leap off the screen yellow.
Exactly.
But then Duncan or Black Kaiser, he lives in, as you said, in a wintry kind of wasteland type somewhere. I can't remember, I think Canada or wherever
something.
It might be.
Yeah.
And everything's very, very dark there. So it's all meant to pop against it. But then the characters are so over the top.
That's right.
It's so extreme.
So no subtlety.
No,
which means
the Asian leather clad woman is just kind of Lucy Liu in what's that?
Yeah, X versus Severed Piece of Shit.
Yeah, like that. I was just actually thinking Lucy Liu in that Mel Gibson film where she's that dominatrix.
Oh, yeah.
But more stupid.
Payback. Yeah.
Way more stupid. Payback, that's the one. And the I guess, South American or Central American kind of dude who's got the sniper rifle. They're all, and then, you know, when they kill people, they go over the top.
This is the thing that pisses me off most of all. That group of assassins are just fuckheads. Like, it's not like you've got this ensemble that is interesting.
Yes.
Or that there's anything pleasant to watch about them.
It is very different.
They're just fucking sadistic and cruel, and they just kill everyone, and they just... That's not interesting after one of those. And they keep doing it throughout the movie. And I'm like, fuck these five dickheads, right? Or whatever, however many they are.
You're right.
And each of them are not likable. Even the hot woman. So, like, it's just, fuck all these people. I can't wait for them to die.
Yeah.
That's fine, but I still had a bad time watching them up till then.
Well, what you meant to throw in with is Duncan and this neighbor he starts a friendship with, played by Vanessa Hudgens, Camille.
Mm.
And that it's almost the polar opposite. It's so draggy and slow, and their dialogue is exceptionally slow paced, and she's traumatized and you're not sure why, but she alludes to some things, and he is this taciturn, very, very patient guy who's just drawn to her for whatever particular reason. We never she's half his age, we're not really sure why.
When we get into spoilers, we'll talk something about this. Remind me about this.
We will. But that was kind of meant to be the offset, but the result is we get a film which is dragged out to 2 hour length, and it probably should have been 100 minutes. If 20 minutes were cut off this film, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more.
I don't know, man, because this movie was shit all the way through. Check this out, right?
Okay, all right. Yep.
Well, for me,
I can't defend it. I understand.
There's weird little scenes that are stuck in that don't seem to make any sense. You mentioned that the girl, sounding board girl, whatever her name is.
Vivian?
Yeah, her, mm-hmm. right? She'll be talking on the phone, and then they'll cut, some other conversation. She's in a squash court with a guy on the floor dragging his body through blood.
As if she's just killed him.
As if she's killed him or something. But they're playing, it's like she might have just heard him. And then they just don't explain that. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then there's like this extended scene where fucking Mads Mikkelsen is teaching a group of 5-year-olds how to murder someone with a knife and demonstrating on a child.
I did laugh a couple of times.
And I'm like, what
that.
The fuck? And then
sorry.
The teacher says nothing, right? And so she's like, I'm like,
That scene was definitely played for laughs.
But it was not funny. It was just, shit. Really? Oh, yep. Maybe it might be a parent thing.
Yes, let's talk about killing kids. I mean, he doesn't. He's demonstrating. No, but the fact the he's teaching itself, kids. Yeah.
But it's like, what's this scene for? Is this for? Are we meant to think he's a good guy now by teaching children violence? What is going on here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's his. It's showing how difficult he's finding it to fit into the community, to fit into life after.
I guess
being
it just wasn't believable, and that's why I was going, "Come on!" You know,
again, I can't. I can't go to the soundboard. There's no point, like, because I don't disagree with you enough to
if the teacher wasn't there, that scene would have worked better. Like, it's
but the teacher. You know what it does speak to? It speaks to the fact that he is so intimidating and powerful and whatever. The kids can kind of see past that, but the other adults are, okay. I'm just not going
to
say anything.
Oh, she meant to be scared, was she?
Like. Okay. Horrified, sort of disbelieving, but I'm not fucking interrupting this dude.
That's what bugged me. Any woman would just go, get the fuck out of here, man. Sorry, kids.
Well, any person would.
Person, anyway.
Whoa, what are you doing?
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Well, you know, there's that. There was a possible bright spot when Richard Dreyfuss turned up, to my surprise.
I sat there the entire... I guess that's a spoiler. So
No. Well, look, there's a cameo by Richard Dreyfuss. It's not so bad. No, relax. No one saw this fucking movie.
Yeah, I know. However, let's stop there and hit the button for spoilers. So yeah, Richard Dreyfuss is in the movie. Spoiler. There's a rule with this movie podcasting thing. Spoil nothing because someone will get their underwear knotted up over it.
I am of the opinion that no one would listen to this review unless they've seen the movie. Like,
We delineate. So.
All right. We talk about this. Richard Dreyfuss, fine.
Damn, he's looking old.
Ah, look, I'm surprised he looks even that good. This guy's like got to be 200-300 years old, right? So,
give or take.
So, fuck.
He is definitely too old for this shit.
Oh, fucking hell. Jeez, you worked for that. All right, so let's talk about this. The girl in the movie, Vanessa Hudgens, turns out to be the daughter of two hits that Mads Mikkelsen made back in the past.
Well, he killed everyone in the car except
Everyone in the car except for the girl. He's been atoning for it ever since by giving £200,000 a year to her, to some foundation that funds her, pays for her education.
Which is why she can live all day in this log cabin in somewhere secluded and not have to work.
Right. Yep. So the idea here is now, he for some reason does not recognize her as the person whose image is
correct.
You know, burned on his memory. She does or she does? She knew him from the very start. Was she tracking him? What happened?
I think so, based on the... I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I don't know whether she was the whole time.
Or did she realize
they happened
at some
to
point.
Live next to each other that, you know, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So this is a bullshit, flimsy-ass premise, man. And it's like, one of you would have known, or both of you would have... This wouldn't have gone this way, all right? So that's one thing. I know it's a shit-ass movie, but fucking hell, right? Also, nothing shits me off more than when a henchman who has a gun aims from a distance at an unarmed man, the hero... And instead of just pulling the trigger, he inexplicably rushes towards him with the gun pointing out so the guy can intercept the fucking gun and hit him. Okay. And I'm like...
Is that happened in that action scene?
This happened
about?
Like 4 times in that big bad... When there's like 200 guys.
Yeah, in the hallway.
Yeah, and I'm like, you would have just shot him by now. You wouldn't rush at him with your pointed rifle. Like, it's just dumb. And that, I don't know, it's choreography. I know it's difficult, but fuck off, man. There's a way of not doing any shit. So... Ah, this movie sucks. I actually, like, suddenly going, I've
checked
out.
You hear my half-hearted defense of it. Like, it was so violent in places that it kind of won me over a little bit. And Mads Mikkelsen, I was impressed by. There's a book I read when I was much younger by a guy who's sadly passed away now, David Gemmell. And it's called Waylander. And it's basically, whoever wrote this fucking Dark Horse comic book needs... David Gemmell, if anyone from your estate is listening, sue the fuck out of them. Because it is exactly the same story, except as this film, Polar.
Really?
And as this comic book.
Really? Polar.
It's about an aging, the world's best assassin has retired and trying to live a quiet life. The woman he had a child with has died, so his daughter, he's got one or two young daughters, I can't remember off the top of my head, living with him, it's their family. And then the assassin is always has his bounty on his head. Someone finds out where he lives and suddenly an army of assassins are coming to kill him.
That's this movie.
That's exactly
totally,
this movie.
Totally. Wow. David Gemmell came to Perth. I'm sad to hear that he's no longer with
us. Yeah, it was very sad. We passed way too early. Great author. So... I guess I was, maybe that got me on books. I love that series of books, the Drenai novels from David Gemmell.
Interesting.
And maybe I had a bit more, because I could see, like, tell you what, if I ever did make a movie out of Waylander, Mads Mikkelsen is your man.
Would you argue that John Wick is much the same?
Yeah, but John Wick couches it a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You know, he comes back into the game. He's looking actively looking for revenge. And the army of assassins sort of comes into the second one under, there's no Continental, none of that kind of stuff. So it's all, it is quite different. It adds enough to make it a fresh idea, fresh enough.
Hmm.
This film adds virtually nothing.
Let me tell you one thing. I forgot to mention this. Mads Mikkelsen shoots his fucking dog in this movie. All right?
He accidentally shot
his fucking dog.
Who doesn't care?
How am I going to identify with this guy as the hero now?
Yeah, I did think that, and I thought, geez, Wayne will have a problem with this.
I went, what just and happened?
Not just you, a lot of people.
It was an accident. He was having one of his fucking flashbacks or whatever. The dog's like needling while he's asleep, and he wakes up and shoots whatever was on his leg, which happened to be the dog. That wasn't funny, you fuckers. So, that gave me the shits.
And I guess it was played a little bit for laughs, wasn't it?
No, it is, but that's not how you do it. If you fuck up a dog in a movie, you do it like Something About Mary. You make it very obvious it's not a real dog, and you fucking, you know, that's funny. And then the dog doesn't die as well, all right? But, fuck this shit. This is, you know what?
The screenplay is from Jason Rothwell, and it's based, and the comic is called Polar Came from the Cold by Victor Santos. So, Victor Santos, you're the one who'll be hearing from David Gemmell's estate in the very near future.
Well, this is it. This movie sort of hangs open on a possible sequel. I will not watch that sequel.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't kill him. She, I guess, somehow through the course of the film, she and he does rescue her and save her life.
Yeah.
She forgives him, and he basically says, "I don't know who hired me to kill your father, but I'm happy to try and find out."
Yeah. So it's,
boom. End.
Yeah. Crap movie. If you have somehow, you know, happened upon this review, never watch this film.
If you have,
just don't even worry about it.
And you're still listening.
Yeah, go spank it or something.
We're not recommending it. That said, as final score then, I'm going to give it a pass. I'm giving it a 52.
No, I'm not. This is a fucking 30.
Whoa, damn. That's some low shit for Wayne.
Some bits were good, but the worst bits just shut it out.
Okay, there it is. It's definitely a countdown non-recommendation. I enjoyed it enough that I didn't hate my time with it. You're clearly very different.
I was wondering if you'd like this one. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm disgusted, but Paul likes it when I'm disgusted. He may like parts of this movie. And yeah.
He keeps pulling his tackle out in front of me.
Hey.
Paul likes it.
It's called the brain, son.
All right. Anyway, that is our review of Polar. If you haven't already, go on back, check out our episode 200, which was your favorite 20 films from the listeners. It was a lot of fun.
Listeners.
The countdown. We maybe not a surprise what ended up winning, but some lot of fun along the way, and some surprising films in there along the way. So thanks to all for joining us today for this latest feature review. We're hoping very shortly to get back out into the cinema and see some films released there. So,
I'm enjoying this. Don't leave your study and do the work you need to do thing. It's not bad.
What do we got? We got Cold Pursuit. Is that what it's called?
Cold Pursuit.
Coming with Liam Neeson. That's probably our next theatrical release we'll do. And then, of course, the rest of the year will ramp up from there.
Yeah, sweet.
All right. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at thecountdownpc. Or in the show notes, you can find the link to the Facebook listening community where all the active members of the listening group are found. It's been a pleasure. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne. We'll see you kids real soon.
We will indeed. And this has been The Soundboard. Fuck off.
This is the dumbest shit ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating.
Shut up, fuck.
Time.
You're an asshole.
No, I thought you were referring to the film.
Suck on it. Okay.
I was trying to be apt.
Yeah, just don't play it. It's good.
Cheers. We'll catch you next week.
Hey folks, it's Wayne here.
And Paul.
Time for
Oh, and I forgot to press pause.
I was wondering if you were going to do that.
Same thing.
It's exactly what I would have done. I would have gone, okay, oh,
I've not even had a mouthful of beer.